Today I'm going to discuss the process of teshuva, of repentance, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik and his unique perspective. And the question that I'd like to ask, is the process of teshuva supposed to be painful? The Rabbim Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet states, Midarchei HaTshuva Lios Hashav Tzoek Tamid Lifnei Hashem Bivchi Uvesachanunim. It's the usual course of repentance that the penitent should cry unremittingly to God with weepings and entreaties. And the Rambam continues to write in the end of this halacha, v'gola mimkomo, he should wander from his settled place, shegolus mechaperes avon mipnei shegoremes lo lehikana v'lios anav u'shval ruach. That exile atones a man's sin as in as much as it causes him to give way and to become meek and humble-minded. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Sefer Shari Tshuva, Shar Aleph, Simon Yud Gimel writes, "Umadregos hatshuva ma'aloseha lefi godel hamarirus ve'otzem hayagon." The levels and degrees of repentance correspond to the magnitude of bitterness and the intensity of sorrow. And he writes that, "Al kein yekal ha'avon kefir shetichbad ha'avoda v'hanacha alav ki hayagon yavo meis tor haneshama halyona v'nirtesa bazei yosem asher tiritzeh." The sin will be attenuated to the extent of the grief that is expended upon it, for sorrow and that it proceeds from purification of the heavenly soul is preferred in this regard to much bodily affliction and suffering. Both the Rabbah and Rabbeinu Yonah speak about pain and suffering as being critical elements, perhaps, in the effectiveness of teshuva. So should the process of tshuva be painful? And if so, why? So I believe Soloveitchik has an approach about this regarding the fact that tshuva should be painful and also why it should be painful. Rav Soloveitchik in Al HaTshuva, he says the following, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, confessed for all the sins of Klal Yisrael and its confession, his vidui, atoned for all their sins. And he writes that the confession of the Kohen Gadol was transformed into a sacrifice. Confession is not merely a perfunctory verbalization of a set formula, but is bound up with tribulations of the soul and pangs of conscience shall be deemed a sacrifice. Soloveitchik calls the vidui like a korban. And he writes that what do you accomplish when you do vidui? So he says that confession compels man in a state of terrible torment to admit facts as they really are, to give clear expression to the truth. This indeed is a sacrifice, a breaking of the will, a tortuous negation of human nature. Both remorse and shame are involved in this process. Soloveitchik explains that confession involves breaking the will, goes against nature, there's pain. And he writes, again, different passages from Al HaTshuva, that prayer takes the place of sacrifices because true prayer involves deep spiritual torment. He writes that prayer, why is prayer accompanied by spiritual torment? For the act of self-denigration during prayer makes man aware of his insignificance and futility, his lowliness and remoteness from the Lord on high. Through prayer, especially when offered on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, a man can undergo the spiritual torment which he is obliged to endure to effect repayment, and he can feel the self-inflicted limitations which confine him as a result of his sins. Soloveitchik clearly believes that the prayer, especially prayer on Yom Kippur, is wrapped up in deep psychological pain. We need to feel lowly and cry about how far removed we are from God. In fact, he writes this, that sin pushes man far away and stimulates his longing to return, so that when man comes to the point of confessing, he must say, "I have sinned, I have acted perversely, I have transgressed before you. Restore me to where I was before." For Rabbi Soloveitchik, when we sin, we need to return back to God. And that is a very painful process. The question is, why is it so painful for Rav Soloveitchik? The reason why it's so painful for Rabbi Soloveitchik is because the goal on Yom Kippur is not merely kapara, atonement, but it is tahara, purification. Soloveitchik explains in another essay that two things happen when we sin. The first is consequence, which is reward or punishment. And kapara means forgiveness or withdrawal of claim. Soloveitchik explains that this is a legal concept borrowed from the laws of property. Just as one may release his fellow man of a debt owed to him, so may God absolve one of penalty to which he is liable due. Kapara removes the need for punishment. Kapara, in a sense, is you're going to, let's say, I'm teaching a class, I see that a student has taken out his cell phone, and I catch him. I say, you have your cell phone out, and the student says, I'm sorry. And I tell the student, yeah, you're sorry that you were caught. When the student says often that he was sorry, he simply doesn't want the punishment. He doesn't want his phone taken away. That's kapara, where the goal is on Yom Kippur to remove punishment. Kofar is an indemnity payment so that there's no punishment. That's one aspect of Yom Kippur. Kapara, withdrawal of claim, trying to achieve a sense of forgiveness insofar as that we will not be punished. However, Rav Soloveitchik writes, sin also has a polluting quality. The Jewish view recognizes the state of impurity of sin, tumas achet. The entire Bible abounds in references to this idea of self-pollution, contamination, rolling about in the mire of sin. This impurity makes its mark on the sinner's personality. Sin, as it were, removes the divine halo from man's head, impairing his spiritual integrity. So, according to Rav Soloveitchik, there's also tahara, that sin, my soul becomes impure when I sin. Soloveitchik points out that, let's say, there's an opinion in the Gemara that Itzuma Yom Kippur Mechaper, the essence of Yom Kippur atones for sin. One opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, in Maseches Yoma, that even if you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur atones for your sin. Does that mean, let's say there are certain sins that if you commit, you not only have committed a sin, but you're discredited to be an aid, to be a witness in a court of law. Does that mean that after Yom Kippur, now you can serve as a witness? No, says Soloveitchik. What Yom Kippur may do is, may, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it may cause the forgiveness of certain sins. But if someone committed a sin such that his personality is such that he can no longer be a credible witness, just going through Yom Kippur, that may achieve kapara, but it doesn't necessarily achieve automatic tahara. That's something different because you've changed your personal status. The goal of kapara, not to be punished. The goal of tahara is to change our personal status. And Soloveitchik asked this question, how do you arrive at the repentance of purification? He said, it does not come about as the result of a fear of punishment. Fear of punishment is not enough to bring repentance of purification. Only ritual immersion may achieve this end. We are referring to a double baptism of water and fire. Immersion in water represents an analytical plunge into the sea of knowledge, which is done through intense self-contemplation and profound soul-searching. The baptism of fire, in contrast, represents the great act of breaking one's own will, passing through the fire of one's passion. These two immersions are what bring man to the stage of repentance, of purification. According to Rabbi Soloveitchik, the goal of Yom Kippur is to achieve tahara through a double baptism of water, which is the analytical plunge into the sea of knowledge through self-contemplation and soul-searching, and fire, breaking one's own will. Yom Kippur, then, is set up to achieve more than simple forgiveness. Yom Kippur is set up to achieve purity, to achieve tahara, to change ourselves, to better ourselves. The whole structure of Yom Kippur, of an intense day of prayer, of reflection, creates a beautiful opportunity for us to become different people. But we first need to realize that that is the goal. That we want more than to simply be saved. That we want to change ourselves. If we really don't want to do that, if we really don't feel that sense of urgency to change, then Yom Kippur cannot become a day of tahara. And that's why Yom Kippur, or the tshuva process, is so painful for Rav Soloveitchik. Because you can only change if you feel the pain, if you feel that sense of urgency. And it's a very painful process because you're trying to recreate yourself. See, for Rabbi Soloveitchik, the method is not simply emotion. You know, I'm disgusted by my behavior, so I'm going to change. It's water followed by fire. It's first, I make a plan. I understand where I went wrong, and I make a plan to make myself better. But once we make the plan, then we have to break our will. We need what he calls a baptism of fire, and that's very painful. That's very painful because to recreate ourselves, to change ourselves, is a very painful process. Rav Soloveitchik writes that Judaism has always held that it lies within man's power to renew himself, to be reborn, and to redirect the course of his life. In this task, man must rely upon himself. No one can help him. He is his own creator and innovator. He is his own redeemer. He is his own Messiah, who has come to redeem himself from the darkness of his exile to the light of his personal redemption. And so we can do that. We can redeem ourselves. We can recreate ourselves. But it's very painful. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, repentance requires suffering and pain so that we can return to God. We sin, we distance ourselves from God, and now we return to God. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, there's always a conflict between the good and bad inside of us. Our job is to impress our Tzelem Elohim, our godly form, on our formless personality. Our job is self-creation, to recreate ourselves. And tshuva, returning to God after we sinned, is one of the best examples of recreation. And creation can be a very unnatural and therefore a very painful process. That being said, for Rabbi Soloveitchik, religion and recreating ourselves is enriching and rewarding, but the process is hard. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes in one of his essays in Out of the Whirlwind, he writes, Judaism believes that each person has a fixed place in creation. If I find myself thrust in here and now, it's because God thinks that I can act here and now efficiently. If I had been born 100 years ago, if I would come into this world a century later, my contribution as a servant would be nil. God wills me to act right here and now. On Yom Kippur, we pray, my Lord, before I was created, I was of no worth. And now that I have been created, it is as if I have not been created. Before I was created, there was no need for my service. I had no place in the order of things and events, and I could not serve God. My creation implies a twofold message. My service is required, and I have the ability to act here and now. With the birth of every person, a situation is formed within which he can serve God. Otherwise, he would not be born. However, I misunderstood the call rising out of my existence and did not accomplish anything. Hence, the miracle of birth was wasted. And now that I have been created, it is as if I have not been created. If man comprehends the role of a servant of God, then his life is one long service, and death is the conclusion of this hallowed service. However, if the divine call is ignored, he lives in vain and dies in a very absurd manner. Dust I am in life, all the more so in death. There is a great capacity in me, yet it is filled with vanity. Before you, I'm like a utensil filled with shame and disgrace. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, there is a personal element in our service of God. I was put on earth for a reason at this time and this place. And it's my responsibility to discover that reason, my purpose, my role, my goal. Let me not waste my life. We all have a calling. And it's painful trying to find that calling. But when we achieve that, when we realize what that is, and we go through the process of tshuva, it can be very enriching and invigorating. You know, a story is told about an eccentric billionaire who throws a lavish party with guests from all over the world as the party is well underway. He asks his guests to walk over to his Olympic-sized swimming pool where he had filled it with all kinds of dangerous creatures, sharks, piranhas, crocodiles, you name it, it's there. So he tells his guest, I will give anything to the person who is brave enough to jump in the pool and swim across. The place falls silent as the guests only whisper amongst themselves in bewilderment. anything that a person could dream of will be his, the billionaire tells his guest again. Suddenly, a large splash is heard and a guy is seen struggling to swim through, and miraculously he makes it across. The room erupts in cheers. The billionaire approaches the man who swam across and tells him, "I am a man of my word. And since you made it across, what do you want? Money, mansions, my daughter's hand in marriage?" The man, still visibly shaken and struggling to catch his breath, replies, "I just want to know the name of the guy who pushed me in the pool." And you know who pushes us in the pool? It's God. God creates challenges for us that we may think we cannot handle. And then we realize, wow, I did it. And we realize, wow, I'm a Baal Chesed. Wow, I have a passion for Talmud Torah. Wow, I have a passion to volunteer for the community. Wow, I didn't realize that if I work on my midos, I could be such a much better person. Sometimes God throws us in the pool and we need to look for these clues. And indeed, that's what this time is for. To think about all the times that God has thrown us in the pool over the past year and how we've grown and what that tells us about our strengths and our passions. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, we know tshuva is a painful process of returning to God and recreating ourselves. But it's recreating us for who we should be. And perhaps if we achieve that on some level, then we can achieve what the Mishnah and Tanis tells us, that Yom Kippur is one of the two happiest days of the world. Because the level of tahara that we can achieve is so unbelievable. It's painful. It's difficult to achieve that. It's very painful. It's not easy. But the reward could be so wonderful, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik.